Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegel's with you, talking some Giants football, getting ready for Giants and Eagles at 1 p.m., rather 8:30 p.m., excuse me, at Lincoln Financial Field down in Philadelphia. Sunday night football, a big NFC East rivalry, big NFC East game that could very well turn this division into a three-way tie for first place. If the Giants beat Philadelphia on Sunday night, Jeff, and the Cowboys go into Seattle and lose, which frankly would not be a surprise based on how good the Seahawks are at home, we're looking at three teams in the NFC East sitting there at 4-2.
A far cry from the beginning of training camp when everybody was talking how the Eagles were going to run away with this division. The Giants were going to, after what we saw in the preseason, everybody thought that they were going to be horrible. And then all of a sudden, RG3 gets hurt, and Kirk Cousins comes in here and just throws up a nice present for the Giants a couple weeks ago. And so now you're sitting here going, now this is really, it's up for grabs. And the NFC East is going to be turned into maybe a competitive division. And the fact that the Giants have a huge game this weekend and then next week, you don't want to look ahead to the Dallas game. But you're right, John. There is a possibility that there could be a three-way tie for first place coming in.
And maybe the most important pair of games in a couple of years for the Giants coming up the next 2 weeks. And again, not to look ahead, but the Giants will be a finished all three of their division games on the road, 3 out of 4 weeks at Washington. Then obviously they played Atlanta at home last week, then at Philly and at Dallas. If you could do well in these three games, Jeff, it sets you up very well for the second half of the season. You got three very tough games coming up after the bye week. You want to put yourself in a good position so you don't have to win those games.
And I think what's important, too, is that, one, it's hugely important to win some of these games on the road against your division opponent just because of the division record. The other one is that the Giants are fairly healthy, and if they can get through these division games on the road and get some wins, then head into that bye week if they do have some injuries and be able to get through. That is I don't think people really truly understand how big it is that the Giants are getting their division games away on the road right away.
Yeah.
Because when you're going for that division championship, if you will, you want to start playing these games at home in front of your crowd. And I think that that's a chance the Giants can have. And hopefully that they just have to take this first game. And they've got a tough one down at the Link coming up on Sunday.
All right, one real quick before we get to breaking down the X's and O's, Jeff. Injuries. Really only one for the Giants to be very concerned about at this point, and that's John Beeson. And one thing that could determine the NFC East is certainly health. It looks like Beeson's done a lot more in practice this week. Tom Coughlin sounded optimistic yesterday. Perry Fuel sounded optimistic yesterday. We'll know more today when the official injury report comes out. My guess, he'll be listed as questionable, be considered a game-time decision. But considering he's had a couple weeks off, the game's on grass, and you're playing a team with weapons at the running back position like LeSean McCoy and Darren Sproles, this seems like the game you would want John Beeson back for.
And you kind of wonder what the thinking was a little bit. Of course, we always here on our pregame stuff, we get the inactives.
Yeah.
And we were a little shocked last week when John Beeson went on that inactive list for the game. It kind of tells you a little bit that it was more than we thought it was. And I think that this extra week now has given him a chance to go out there and practice on the grass. And we talk about that a lot, John. But really, grass helps an injury like this because the turf really takes its toll on your feet, especially from a linebacker.
Yeah.
But regardless, I think that John Beeson will play this weekend. And I think that he will add a little bit of spark to that defense at that linebacking position. We saw what Jaquan Williams did last week. If he continues to keep playing like he is, and then you got McClain, who's just he's doing a great job too, and then the addition of Beeson, that linebacking crew can be pretty good.
One other note too, you mentioned the field and the grass. It looks like it's going to rain on Friday night and on Saturday. Now, usually in Philadelphia, that's not a problem because you have the tarp on the field. It's protected. It has pretty good drainage down there.
Something tells me you're going to tell me there's a college.
Here's
game.
The issue.
I knew it.
Purdue
playing
at Lincoln Financial Field on Saturday afternoon. So the field could be an issue on Sunday. It might slow things down a little bit, which I think probably helps the Giants a little bit because the Eagles are the faster team.
I believe so. I mean, and we talk about Andre Williams now getting injected into the starting role because of the injury to Jennings. But I think it does too, John. I think it goes in favor of the Giants. That offensive line for the Giants is playing much better than the offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles. LeSean McCoy has not run the ball well because of that. And so if you're going to get into a sloppy game and you want to keep it on the ground, I think the Giants win that category.
201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. And, Jeff, obviously – This is a game where the Giants head into it very familiar with the Eagles. And I think in a lot of ways, Chip Kelly caught the NFL by surprise last year with a lot of the stuff that he did. It takes a year to see the tape. It takes a year to get used to the pace. And it seems like the offense for the Eagles has slowed down a lot this year. Yes, they're tied with the Colts, leading the league in points with just over 31 per game. However, they have seven miscellaneous touchdowns, whether it's from interception returns, punt returns, kick returns, interception returns, you name it.
Wow.
They've gotten touchdowns in a lot of different ways. And the offense, quite frankly, has struggled from time to time. Yep. Do you think the league's starting to figure out what Chip Kelly's doing, or is this more a product of the fact that they're missing their starting left guard and starting center and was missing their starting right tackle for the first four
games? I think you just answered my question for me. Sometimes when we use the hello? There we go.
There
is that
go,
better?
John. That's
sorry.
Right.
You know, when we talk about pulling the plug, I mean that means but
that's
we're
not
here.
A good thing.
But I think it has to do a little bit with both, John. I think that the NFL, the coordinators and head coaches in the league are smart for a reason. They that's why they're coordinators. So it does take a little bit of time for them to figure things out. But the health of that offensive line and the production that you're not getting out of Nick Foles last year, it was kind of an anomaly. He only threw a couple picks last year. I mean, he really didn't
two interceptions in the whole season.
Think he's
he already
go
has five
the
this
season
year.
Like that
right.
This year. But I think it has to do with a little bit of both. But they still like to get after it on offense. They like to eat that clock and just keep running plays out there. Something that we may talk about a little bit later is that the Giants are able to be able to practice against an offense like the Giants that run high tempo, nothing like the Eagles' tempo, but at least we'll give them a little bit of help in that category.
Well, no doubt about it. And let's start taking a look at things right now, Jeff. Mathias Kiwanuka did have a chance to talk to the media this week. Hey, Joe, we're playing something on the air there, bud. You might want to stop. Thank you. Mathias Kiwanuka did talk to the media earlier in the week about that Chip Kelly system. And as you mentioned, the Giants are playing that no-huddle offense this year. So they're getting used to it in practice, and Kiwanuka says that will help them prepare for Sunday night against the Eagles.
Hands down, that's one of the most important things that that we've changed from last year to this year. Seeing that rally every day in practice has prepared us not just for the speed of the game in terms of your conditioning, but communication and understanding how to get lined up before you hear a call. So I think we're in a good spot.
And that's Mathias Kiwanuka. Again, the Giants practice against it. It's a different pace than what the Eagles do. A little bit different, Jeff. But you got to think seeing it in practice will get the Giants ready on game day.
Yeah, something different, too, is if you look over at that Eagle sideline, they got those cards with the pictures. Have you seen
them? They do. That's kinda true.
Kind of like college, but the Giants don't do that. But that's a big difference, too. But really, to be seriously, they do get a little bit more on tempo. I question it if it really – if it really, really helps them, because when you think about what they're doing offensively on the field in practice, the offense runs against a scout team. The defense runs against a scout team offense. So they're really never – they're not really practicing the first team against the first D and vice versa all the time. Two-minute they are, John, you know that, and some other, rally, things like that. But, listen, bottom line, they're going to be on the field a lot, and they're going to cover these guys, and we're going to talk much about – a lot about the guys they got to be covering this week.
Here's an interesting number, by the way. In no-huddle situations this year, the Eagles, or rather Nick Foles, has a 70 quarterback rating. In huddle situations, 112. So believe it or not, Foles has been better out of the huddle this year. Now, that could be an anomaly. It's a small sample size, but I thought that was very interesting.
But it is interesting, but you almost think, like, these guys, these coaches, they get, like, here at the Giants, John Berger is this, the crazy guru that throws this stuff.
You got to figure the Eagles has a guy that knows that, right?
Absolutely. But I think you just can't, reinvent the wheel just because of that statistic.
Right.
But you may want to huddle up a little bit more if your quarterback's doing better in the other system.
Or figure out why it's not working in the huddle.
Absolutely.
Right.
I think a big part of this offense, because certainly, John, the weapons that they have, we all know about. It really comes down to that offensive line. It just seems to be a reoccurring theme that every week we talk about the opposing team's offensive line, when here we were thinking that at the beginning of the year that we're going to talk about is the Giants' offensive line, and the rest of the teams, it's good. So we're going to talk about the Eagles' offensive line. They're hurt, and That's what's affecting that offense, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're still missing two of their starters, and that's negatively affected the running game. LeSean McCoy averaging under 3 yards per carry this year. But Jason Pierre-Paul said earlier in the week, that doesn't matter. He's still dangerous.
It don't matter about the numbers, man. Honestly, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, he's still that same old running back. You know what I mean? There's nothing changed. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, as soon as you forget about him, you know, he got 100-something yards. You know what I mean? Probably in the first quarter, you know what I mean? Not even by the half, by the first quarter. Then you're going to look stupid.
And nobody wants to look stupid on Sunday night, right, JPP? And here's a nugget for you, Jeff. Last year, the Eagles were first in the NFL in rushing yards per game and in yards per carry. This year, they're 23rd in both categories.
Wow.
That being said, job number one for the Giants is still going to be stop the run on Sunday night.
Yeah, and you know, you look at a guy like Shady McCoy. He led the league in rushing last year, okay? So, I mean, the guy he can play. I know he had a lot of attempts running the football last year for the Eagles. So, you know, is he worn down a little bit? I think that the Giants defense is not saying that he's worn down. They know how good he is.
Oh, yeah.
And but he's one of those guys you have to pay attention to because, like JPP was saying, the next thing you know, he's going to break off a 50, 60-yarder, and he could have 100 yards in the first quarter. And then you're like, holy smoke, what are we doing here? So, and then you got to talk about the other guy, too. So, in Sproles, they have very, very good weapons at the running back position.
And both those guys, not only runners, like you said, Jeff, they're also good out of the backfield catching passes. They're masters of the screen pass. Giants cornerback Jermaine McBride talked about how the Giants will deal with those screens.
It really depends on what coverage we're in, because if we're in a man coverage, we can't be too quick to come up because they could fake it and go deep on us.
Right.
So I think it's a matter of just everyone playing sound football this week for us.
And, you know, we've seen the Eagles run those plays where they do that fake quick wide receiver screen, and then one of the guys
around.
Just releases and nobody's there.
Yeah.
So and
that nobody could be Zach Ertz down the middle of the field.
And that's the other thing, too. You come up, play that screen too hard, that middle of the field is wide open, and they want to hit that tight end on those deep posts and on those seam routes. So there is a give and take here. You got to pick your poison a little bit.
Well, I think Tremaine, he hit the nail on the head when he said we have to play disciplined, fundamental football. Okay, you know, they have to commit to the play sooner or later. So eventually, if you stay on your guy as a cover and then you come off, make sure that guy has already thrown the ball and he has it in his hands. But you have to be disciplined. And really, the screen game, like he was saying, it's tough for the corners to make the tackles. It's those linebackers and defensive line. They've got to run to the football. If they get engaged in the block and there's a screen pass, they got to get off and run to the football and make that tackle.
And that also means you can't be too gung-ho about getting after the quarterback, because if you get too aggressive down the field, they're going to burn you.
And you got to say to yourself, okay, you know what? Jermaine McBride has said it depends on what coverage you're playing in the backfield. Well, it depends on what kind of a rush they're doing up front, too.
Right.
So they have to be very disciplined in their lanes and not and we keep using that word discipline. I think it really needs to be emphasized this week because of the offensive firepower that they have in Sproles and McCoy.
And it's worked so far for the Giants. Last three games, they've been holding opponents to 15% conversion rates on third downs. They've been playing some very good football. But, of course, the Eagles not only dangerous at running back and tight end, also at wide receiver. Jeremy Maclin, coming off that ACL, is having a heck of a season. Giants cornerback Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie talked about how to slow down those Eagles wide receivers.
You know, when guys tend to get up and put their hands on the receiver, it kind of throw them off a little bit. But when you're not touching them guys, they're just running around, running right past you, and Nick's putting it there. So the main thing is to get up and get in their face.
And, Jeff, quite frankly, much like the Giants' offense, the Eagles' offense is relying on timing. And you want to throw these guys off their timing to make Nick Foles hold the football, and that's when he's gotten into some trouble turning the ball over this year.
And, you know, his protection hasn't been great, too, so you throw that in there. But, you know, the way that the league is running these days is that those guys can only touch them right away at the line of scrimmage. And I think that's what DRC was saying, that we got to punch them in the face. We got to get up in their grill real quick, because, you know, after that they can't touch them because the flag's coming out. But, you know, they got to be physical at the line of scrimmage with these guys so that the defensive line can get pressure on Nick Foles. Nick Foles, when he has time, you look at last year, he had a lot of time. He was very accurate, only throwing those two interceptions. So I think that that's a little bit of a problem for him, is not having the time to throw, and this kind of just falls into the hands of the defensive backs. If you can get and tie those guys up, it can force Foles to make some mistakes and get some turnovers, and, especially on the road. And, getting turnovers on the road are huge.
And Foles does have 8 turnovers this year, tied for the NFL for most turnovers by a single player in the NFL. And one of the nugget too, Jeremy Maclin, who's really their number one target as a wide receiver, he's tied for the NFL league in targets this year with 55 with Julio Jones.
Wow.
How about this one? He's been targeted 14 times on plays where the ball travels 30 yards in the air or more. He's only caught one.
Wow.
So they try to go to him down the field. They haven't had a ton of success so far.
And, you know, it's pretty remarkable for him to even be back playing at the level that he
is. Oh, yeah, he's been
injury.
Great. It is.
Just goes to show you how some guys are able to recover better than others.
Well, it helps, too, that he got that injury early last year.
Very
so he
early.
Had an extra few months to try to recover, which helps.
But I think that this Eagles team likes the big play. They like the big play going long, and I think that they have the weapons to do it. And, you know, you got the Matthews, the rookie, is also, you know, he's a rookie,
he's coming
so
on.
We don't know
he's
much about
on,
him,
though.
But he certainly has the ability.
All right, we'll get to more sound in a bit as we move along, but I want to get to your calls. You guys have been patiently waiting. So let's start hitting up the phones. We'll start with Jim down in Alabama, 201-939-4513. Jim, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys, need a little help with my marriage this morning, and if I understand this football question, I won't get mad and chuck the remote at the TV and take my wife off.
Okay, what do you got?
All right, so Atlanta was 30th in defending the rush. Philadelphia is 28th, and so I think last week we talked about if we rush the ball well against Atlanta, we'll beat them, and we did. It looks to me like
Philly. By the way, Jim.
In the game,
Jim, I don't mean to interrupt you, but Philly's 24th against the rush. Just FYI.
Okay, I must have some bad old data.
That's
here,
okay. It's all good.
Still, they're not good. They're
right.
Not good against the rush.
Yep.
And one of the secrets to keeping a high-powered offense off the field is to run the ball against their defense because it just grinds out the clock.
100%.
So it seems to me like we use a lot of three wide, one tight end, one running back sets. But when Heinowski comes in the game, it looks to me like rushing yards per attempt is going way up. Help me understand from a scheme point of view. Even if the other defense goes base defense and rolls the safety up in the box, it seems like we're still blowing them out of the water because they suck at stopping the run. Help me see what the coaches are seeing, why we're not using more two back sets. You know, and too wide, especially since I think you know, Ruben Randall is struggling a little bit. Maybe he's not the guy to keep on the field. I'll listen offline. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jim. And if I remember, I think Jim and I were going back and forth on this on Twitter earlier in the week, and I tried to find a stat that told you what the Giants' yards per carry are with Heinowski on the field as compared to off of Jim. I couldn't find that. I did try. But from a scheme point, Jeff, there is a theory to run the ball big personnel because you have your best blockers out there. But keep in mind, the Giants don't necessarily have the best blocking tight ends. But number two, the other line of thought, and I think this is the one that Ben McAdoo probably ascribes to based on what we've seen him do in Green Bay and here, is you spread the field, you get a linebacker off the field, you want the safeties to stay deep because of the three wide receivers out there, you have an extra corner, only two linebackers, you spread them out, and then you run the football, the more success.
Makes sense to me. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
I mean, the Giants have been running the ball great all year.
I think the caller is struggling with the fact that maybe he's trying to get more out of the running game than it already is. The Giants are doing fine with when they bring the guys in and Heinowski's fine. If they were bringing Heinowski in and they weren't running the ball effectively, then we might want to change them. But the Giants don't need to change that. Plus, you want to keep the defense honest.
Right.
I mean, you can run different sets, but you know you don't want to tip your hat that you're running the ball just because Heinowski's in there. I mean, we're pretty basic stuff here, but it goes a little bit deeper than I know offensively. I'll be honest to tell you that, but so we'll see what happens.
And you know what? I'm just not sure. Honestly, not sure if the rushing numbers are that much better with Heinowski in the game. I honestly don't know, but I think they've ran the ball pretty well. And like Jeff said, why try to fix things if they're not broken? 201-939-4513. Bruno is down in Atlanta, Georgia. Bruno, what's going on? You had a good week this week, Bruno.
Yeah. Speaking of a lot of these Falcons fans, they were a bit crushed. But hey, that's their problem.
That's
right?
Football, man. That's football.
That's right. Question for you. Yesterday, a caller called in and spoke to PDOT about Stevie Brown coming in.
Yeah.
I'm surprised with called the team of loving the Ghidra package. That's his thing that he always talks about.
He loves the Ghidra.
I've been too impressed with Mark Herzlick. Really, it's a nice story and all, but, you know, I think if we bring in Stevie Brown as the third safety and keep him close to the line, you know, Philly's a team that wants to spread people out, and Shady is not running as strong as he has yet. He's still dangerous. But they're spreading us out. You know, I just see Stevie Brown as a much better option in coverage. We got Jaquan Williams who's good in coverage. So, I mean, what are your thoughts about that? And I'll take the call up here. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, Bruno. You know, it's a good question. And I would have to look at their personnel alignments, and maybe I can actually look this up on Pro Football Focus after I ask Jeff this question. But the Eagles, when they run their 12 personnel, which is basically one running back and two tight ends, that's when I could see you going to a big nickel type of package. But if they're in their three wide, which I think is what they do more of now since Jordan Matthews is playing more and more, they have Matthews, Cooper, and Macklin all out there at the same time.
Right.
You have to go three corners in that spot and have your two linebackers out there in Beeson and Jaquan Williams.
You got to have – and, you know, I don't know this, but I know that Kennard was active last week, but I didn't see him play a lot. Did you?
No, I think the Giants wanted to ease him back in.
And so I think that that Perry Fuel has a lot of confidence in him too. But, you know – I agree with John. I just think that you got to have that other corner in there and just put a put the responsibility of the linebackers to cover. I don't know, you know, Beeson, if he's healthy, he can cover, but if he's hurt, you know, if he's 80%, then you got to question that. I don't know. I think the Giants do play good when they get those extra safeties in there, and I think Stevie Brown is still on the mend. I think that's why he lost his starting job, is just because of the fact that he just doesn't have it all there. Trying to get him back to what he played like in 2012, which was remarkable.
But here's how I look at it, Jeff. Are Tremaine McBride and or Jameel McClain right now better football players than Stevie Brown? I think they probably are.
I gotta believe that they are. I do.
So do you want to take those guys off the field for Brown, who did struggle the first couple weeks?
I agree with you too.
Yeah. I'm just trying to reinforce.
I don't think so. I'm just trying to figure out what this Giants defense. You got to pick your poison a little bit, right, John? I mean, you got these guys, their screen game, their running game, their deep pass, the tight end. I think it all comes down to just playing good, solid defense and being very fundamentally sound for this game and not giving up the big play. The defense has given up some big plays this year, maybe three or four big plays, and you can't have that. There's your website.
Believe it or not, right? I'm taking a look at some of the snap counts here. They don't actually have it by formation, but they have individual player snap counts on here. Last week, for example, Brent Celek played 59 snaps at tight end. Riley Cooper and Macklin both played 71 snaps at wide receiver. That was pretty much every snap, give or take.
Yeah.
And then you would – Brent Celek played 59 snaps. Ertz played 31, and Jordan Matthews played 36. So I guess it was probably a little bit more two tight ends than – well, no, it was a little bit more three wide receiver than they played two tight ends, I guess. But it's certainly
Cooper?
Split.
What was he?
Cooper played 71 snaps with Macklin. So those are the top two wide receivers
for
sure.
Okay.
So there you go.
Matthews was 36, you said?
Matthews was 36. Zach Ertz was 31. And Brent Celek actually played 59. Last week, Brent Celek played 28 more snaps than Zach Ertz. How about that? I thought that's interesting.
So you look at Zach Ertz and then you look at Matthews. They were about the same. Those guys were probably coming in for each other back and forth with different sets.
In fact, it's kind of, you know, at the beginning of the year,
72.
Zach Ertz played 53 snaps in week one and week two. Then after that, he only played 38, 43, and 31. So his snaps have actually gone down the last few weeks.
And I also wonder if maybe Brent Celek is a better blocker.
Probably is.
Because they need some better blocking out of that line, and maybe that's why he got a little bit more. That's fine. I'd rather see Brent Celek in there than Zach Ertz.
Yeah, he's certainly less dangerous in the passing game, no doubt about it. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phone and say what's up to Nick in New Jersey. Nick, you're up next.
Hey, Nick, a local guy. Good. You know, we got to
– Yeah.
What's up, Nick?
John, Jeff, how you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I got two questions for you. First one is, with Rashad Jennings being out, do you see enough talent between Williams and Hillis to be effective enough to keep it a run game first and a passing game second?
Yes. I think there's enough talent. Do you have as much talent that you did when Jennings and Williams were splitting carries? I'd probably say no. But I think you still have enough to give those guys – you know, and you even throw Michael Cox into the mix. If you give those guys 30 carries, I think you'll be fine. I don't think you're overplaying your hand in that regard much, Jeff. Do you?
No, I think I agree with John. I think one thing that you have to be careful with is remember that Andre Williams is still a rookie. Even though he's been doing well, and he's still a rookie. Rookies make mistakes for a reason, and the Giants have to be careful with how they use him. Peyton Hillis is a veteran. That's why he's still on this team. He's able to run the football. He protects the football. He can pass block.
Yep.
He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Some of these things that Andre Williams is starting to develop, but he's not good at it yet. So it may – I think that if we talked earlier about maybe if the game gets into, you know, conditions where it's raining and it's soggy and stuff like that, then those guys are going to get a lot more carries. But I think it's a good question. I think they can certainly carry the load.
Well, I think I agree with that. I think that as time has gone by, that I think Andre's gotten a little better, and he keeps, you know, progressing each week. And Jeff, you mentioned mistakes. That's my second question. Do you guys, from what you guys see in practice throughout this week, do you guys see them doing a better job of cleaning up the big plays? Or am I going to have like 8 heart attacks again like I did last week?
Well, look, big plays is something the Giants have struggled with all year. In fact, the Eagles and the Giants are two of the teams that have given up the most plays of 40-plus yards this year on defense. The Eagles have given up 6, and I think the Giants have given up 5, if memory serves me right. So both these teams have given up big plays. They both have missed assignments on defense. And frankly, whichever team makes fewer of those mistakes, Nick, could very well be the team that wins on Sunday. So you're right to be nervous about it, and I can't tell you you're not going to have a heart attack, because Chip Kelly lives and dies by the big plays. The Eagles have more big plays than anybody else on offense. So this is a big balance here, and that's why this is such a big test for the Giants' defense to not make those types of mistakes.
No, and I couldn't agree more, John, and because if you remember, 2 years ago, we had that debacle when we were up by 3 touchdowns, and because of Matt Dodge, we lost that game. It was like 4 touchdowns in the last 8 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Boy, that game really sticks in Giant fans' craws. More than any other game the last 5 years, that game sticks in more Giant fans' craws than any other game. It's amazing.
It really is. And I funny story is that was my first year after I had retired, and I wanted to go to the games because, you know, I'd always been in the games, but I'd never been at the games, if that makes sense. And I was in the stands for that game, and I all I could hear around me was, you know, my name being called. It was so funny, but I felt so bad for Matt Dodge. And really, I mean, it's hard to kick the ball out of bounds. I know it sounds like it's easy, but it's really difficult to do it. But wow, you know what? You're right. I think Giants fans, if you had a poll,
they hate that game.
And you say, you know, what are some of the plays in Giants history that just, you know. By the way, it was the only walk-off punt return for a touchdown in the history of the National Football League.
It's amazing.
So, you know, we talk about walk-offs in baseball every day, but not a walk-off in the punt. So that's but listen, get your medicine next to you, because there's bound to be some big plays in this game from each team. We just hope they're not.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Nick.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, have a good day.
Hey, Joe, we're going to jump ahead here. Go to cut 77. He's brought up special teams. We haven't talked much about special teams yet. We talked about Sproles on offense. We haven't talked about him on special teams. And Quinton Demps is one of those Giants players that does a lot on specials, and he's a guy that talked a lot about trying to contain Darren Sproles when he spoke to the media earlier in the week.
Well, you got to know what kind of returner he is. You got to know that he's aggressive. I mean, he fair catches a little bit, but at the same time, man, he's trying to get a return going for his team. So, they've put good stuff on film. They block for him, and we got to know that going in, that we got to be fundamentally sound in our tackling and our lane covering.
Because if you're not, Sproles is going to get you, and he got him a few years ago, and he's with the Saints.
Yeah.
And he's since he's one of those guys that just always sticks it to the Giants when he has an opportunity. I can just tell.
Did you see the
as
deep
a punter,
breath?
You're like, oh,
did you
Sproles.
See the deep breath? I mean, Hester last week.
Now
Sproles this week.
Sproles was there returning punts when you were punting in the league, right? Sproles was playing then.
Oh yeah,
yeah, of course.
Actually, when he was in San Diego,
right?
Here's the deal with these guys, okay? And I'm gonna put there's a group of them. DeSean Jackson is another one. Mm-hmm. I don't put him up there with Sproles and Hester.
And frankly, Dwayne Harris next week at Dallas is a very dangerous returner.
It's just, you know, years ago when I came into the league, there was maybe one or two of those guys.
That was what, like 75?
74, 75, somewhere around in there.
Am I right? Was it
no,
actually?
No, no.
No, okay. I was going to say, I was trying to make funny. I thought I got it right for a second.
Not that long ago. It may seem that way, but late 80s, early 90s, there was maybe two or three guys in the league that could do it.
The Mel Grays of the world, those guys.
Now it's, you know, it's every week they have somebody. And here's the thing about it. That guy that's returning punts is a better athlete than all 11 of the guys that are trying, and I include the punter, trying to go after that guy.
Wait, you're telling me you weren't a better athlete?
No, I'm not
than
a better
Aaron
athlete
Sproles?
Than those
really?
Guys.
No?
So here's the thing.
You could have fooled me.
A part of
you better golfer, though.
I'm a better golfer than all 22 of them. No, but covering them, it comes down to this. Two components. The first is the kick.
Yeah.
And it has to be executed in a way to try to put the ball outside the numbers and closest to the sideline. And the second one is having the discipline to be able to run down and stay in coverage, okay, and do not be swayed by you get set up. And when those guys set up blocks, and then that's when Sproles or these guys get down the sideline. Just because you kick it to the sideline doesn't mean that they're – a lot of times if there's a punter that can do that, then they're going to set the return up the sideline. And so what they do is they let everybody kind of come on down, and then they create this seam right down the sideline. And it's only a seam between probably about the size of this table.
It's very narrow.
And just those guys are so fast, and then they just wall them off. Okay, but I got to put a lot of pressure on Steve Weatherford this week to try to continue to – kick the ball out of bounds 40 yards.
I would have loved to see a reaction on Weatherford's first punt
to
Devin Hester last week. And it's funny, and I said it to Bob Papa at the next commercial. I go, you know what? I did the show with Jeff on Friday, and he said to me, the one thing you can't do, John, is hit it 55 yards in the air down the middle of the field.
And he hit a 59.
Yes, he did.
Oh, and I'll tell you what, I will give Steve some credit because of the injury. It does take a little bit of his how he's wanting to do things.
Finesse.
And so, exactly. But it all goes down to what I told you guys last week. I just don't understand why they just can't kick the Aussie kick 40 yards in the air, straight up in the air. The guys will fair catch it every time. I'm telling you right now. If anybody other punters, 31-2 punters in the league are watching this show, do that. Because that's how you eliminate those returns. But you know what? Really, John, too, those guys that are covering down there, they got to do their job, too.
And I mean, you gotta be disciplined.
It starts with the punter, but it ends with the coverage. Yeah. And if you put good coverage with good hang time and distance, then everything should be okay. But listen, this Eagles team gets after it on special teams. Now, they
obviously seven miscellaneous touchdowns this year, including two block punts, a blocked field goal, a punt return, and a kickoff return for a touchdown. How you doing?
And I think that the Giants special teams have not been that great this year. They've shot themselves in the foot quite a few times, including two fumbles on kickoffs already this year.
And bottom five in punt coverage, I think, too.
They're giving up 14 yards a return, which I would have committed suicide if I had ever given up 14 yards return. Okay, I can just tell you that. But they have to play better. And how do they play better? They got to want it more than the other people. Fumbles are part of the game, but when you give field position like that in a close game, like they did last week in Atlanta against the Falcons, you can't do that. You can't turn the ball over. But special teams protection too, John. These guys have to protect because they've blocked two punts. Okay, and Steve gets the ball up pretty quick, and he doesn't cover a lot of ground. But I actually think this game is going to come down to special teams. That's kind of where
it very well could. The way the Eagles have played this year wouldn't surprise me.
And I think that, you know, they know each other very well. And as much as Kelly's been there for, you know, not long, but these teams know each other personnel-wise. And you get into these division games, they're always close. They're always close other than the Washington Redskins game that the Giants just demolished the other day. But that's kind of an anomaly. That doesn't usually happen.
Well, and it's also a Thursday night game. And honestly, Thursday night games have a tendency to go in that direction.
Right.
It screws up all the percentages generally.
You know, it's funny. I was sitting here watching the game last night. And here it is, 24-0 in the first quarter. And I'm sitting to myself going, what is the deal with these Thursday night games? There's another blowout. And then I walked away, and then I came back home, and I turned the TV on, and it had a pretty good game.
I remember I asked you this a couple years ago.
And Who won that game?
The Colts held on. J.J. Watt had a fumble return for a touchdown. They forced the Colts to punt. The Texans actually got the ball back with 2 minutes and 10 seconds, no timeouts, 70 yards, need a touchdown to win. And Fitzpatrick got sacked from behind, fumbled the ball, and that was all she wrote. But I want to ask you this, and I always tease you about this, especially after in Weatherford's first year, he got to run one. Did you ever run a fake punt with Tom Coughlin here?
No.
What's the deal? Fans always want to know why they don't run
trick
plays.
No, what? I take that back. We did one game.
2004, right?
It was 2004, and I threw a pass. It was in Arizona. I threw a pass to Jim Finn. And you know what he did?
Did it work?
He had the alligator arms across. He went to catch it like this because he was going to get blown up. It's a perfect throw, by the way. It really was a good throw.
And fans wanted to know, why doesn't Tom do more of that stuff? And did you ever lobby to do more of that stuff?
I lobbied all the time because I didn't want to take away from the punting part of it because I felt that that's such a big change in field position that I didn't want to run a fake on the punt unless we knew we really – and if we did, I would give it to the upback or something. But I really wanted to do fake field goals because these guys come off the edge so much, and if you can just set that ball down there and just be patient – and it looks like we're going to kick it. They just all dive in, turn around, run outside the backside, have that tight end come around here and just – and I took Tom, telling Tom, can we do it, can we do it? And then lo and behold, I leave. And then all of a sudden I see them doing it all the time at practice. And I asked Tom one day, I said, why are you guys doing so many fake field goals? And he said that we run them in practice, but we'll never run them in the game, Jeff. You know that. I'm like – I know that. And I said, it's not because you're thinking that Weatherford's a better athlete than I am, are you? And he said, no, I would never say that. That's probably what it is.
He might have thought it. He just didn't say it.
Yeah.
Now, what was the reason? When you asked him, well, why aren't we doing this? If you would see something on film and be like, well, I think this team might be particularly vulnerable. We can do a fake here, do a fake there, whether it's punt or field goal. Would it just be like he would humor you and be like, all right, Jeff, that sounds like a good idea. Then you would walk on and be like, yeah, there's no chance.
Well, I actually – you know what? Half the time it was that. The other half the time was, you show me it, and I'll look at it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. And that's how it should work.
Of course, we always had a lot more time than everybody else, so we would be able to go in and look at the film, and I would kind of put something together, and the guys in the video department would put a couple plays, and I'd go up to Tom, and I'd show it to him, and then he would come back the next day and say, nope, it's not going to work. I'm like, all right, well, at least I showed you, you know. All right. I think it's going to work, Coach. But it never worked.
Now,
but,
how many and over the course of your whole career, Giants put aside, how many successful fake either field goals or punts were you a part of?
Okay. I was unsuccessful on 6 fake punts in my career.
Running or passing?
Passing. 0 for 6 for 39.6 passer rating. You don't need to look it up.
You That's actually what know what your right. passer
yeah,
rating
Yeah, of course. How do you not? 39.6. 0 for 6. All right?
And then 0 for 6? You didn't complete
0 for 6.
One pass?
0 for 6.
No. You didn't complete one pass.
Finn.
Wow. That's
all
bad.
The other 5 ones were horrible.
And he
passed. Finn was a perfect pass, and he alligatored me. So, anyways. Then on fake field goals, never ran a fake field goal in a regular season game, but we ran a fake field goal when I was in Philadelphia in a preseason game, and I threw a touchdown to Calvin Williams. So
This wasn't the
wrong Calvin Williams you're thinking. But
by the way, this is
you
like
know Calvin. You remember Calvin
I
Williams?
I remember Calvin Williams.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So didn't count though. It's preseason, but I count it.
Now this is kind of like the Jeff Fiegel's reunion tour this year. They already had the Cardinals. Now the Giants are playing the Eagles. I feel like I should have you wear this helmet during the show.
I can't wear this helmet because this is a new helmet. I'd have to bring my old Eagles helmet in.
Once an Eagle, always an Eagle. Right? No.
Yeah. You know what? We had some good teams when I was with the Eagles. We beat the heck out of the Giants those years.
Vi Sikahema.
Now, he was scary, too. He was a scary guy to
kick,
too.
Keith Byers, Randall Cunningham, all those guys, man.
We had some good
– Herschel was on your team there a couple of years, right?
Yeah. And you know what? It's so true. He does do push-ups. He used to do push-ups. I mean, you know how they always say, like, does sit-ups and push-ups? Every day in his locker.
Well, that was a nice 10-minute complete tangent.
Right?
But now we'll get back to your calls. Thank you for holding at 201-939-451. Dude, that was fantastic. It was great stories. Let's go to Dre from Atlanta. Dre, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, Dre.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Gotta make a quick statement, then I got 2 questions. One,
sure.
I'm so tired of the talking. We talk too much. We won 3 games straight. Very happy about that. Very elated about that. But stop the talking.
Yeah.
We have 2 back-to-back division games away where we have to show and prove that we belong on top of this division.
Wouldn't it just be nice that if a team would have kind of just zip it mentality? I mean, talk to the media, answer some questions because you have to.
And
you
there
know
are
that,
ways to talk to the media without saying something that can be used as bullshit.
I agree with you. I can't stand people talking. Do it on the field. Win another game. Just keep going on and keep going. Then when the season's over, you can talk. Sorry to interrupt you. Well, go ahead.
That's all right. I mean, whatever happened to, you know, humble and victory? You know, how confident ends his speech. Humble and victory. We need to be humble. But my questions are, my first one is, if Beeson's coming back since they're playing on grass, so it's going to be Beeson, McClain, and Kennard, or it's going to be Williams since Williams is really starting to show and prove that
Williams.
He belongs at the everyday
definitely
battle.
Jaquan.
Jaquan.
Jaquan, okay. And looking at Philly's defense? Do you see our tight ends getting into the offense a little more this time? Because I see that, you know, Atlanta pretty much shut them down, and they really couldn't do much. So you think there'll be more opportunities for either Fells or Donnell?
Well, you know,
Dre,
here's the thing, and I think this is a big moment for Larry Donnell, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, Jeff. I think what we saw the Falcons do to him last week was what I expected teams to do him to start the year, but they didn't. They're being very physical with him at the line of scrimmage. Now, Larry, he's a long guy. He's an athletic guy. He's not exactly the strongest dude in the world. So I feel like you can give him trouble at the line of scrimmage, having him get off that line to start getting into his routes. And, you know, this offense, if your timing's not there, you ain't getting the football. So sure. If he's late, he ain't getting it.
Right.
So do you think this is something that Donnell could figure out, or is this something that maybe teams will try to repeat now over the next few weeks?
Well, I think Ben McAdoo knows the personnel. He knows Larry Donnell. He knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. And it's up to a coach to put the player in the best position. So he may put him in some positions where he doesn't have to deal with those guys blocking him and doing things
like that. Put him in motion, put him off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, get him off and
kind of,
you know, game plan a little bit that way. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a great question out of our caller, because we haven't talked about the presence of Odell Beckham. And I think that because of his presence now on the field and what he did last week, is that the teams are going to now have to, particularly the Eagles, are going to have to figure a way. They've got Giants have a lot of weapons out there now.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to have to figure out a way to cover Odell Beckham, Victor Cruz, Reuben Randall, Larry Donnell. Okay, so, I mean, that's going to leave somebody open here. And I think that maybe this is the week that Larry Donnell starts himself on fantasy again.
Yeah. Jay, you got anything else for us?
Oh, that's it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Dre.
Hey,
Joe, I want to jump ahead. Let's go to cut number 72. And this was Ben McAdoo talking to the media earlier in the week. And he talked about the offense last week. And the question was about Larry Donnell not getting any catches. And this is how Ben McAdoo answered the media.
We were very methodical last week. You know, we did a nice job not forcing the football to certain guys. We trusted everyone on the field, and the ball went where it was supposed to go. And that's very big and important, and it shows that, you know, we can play with discipline, and we can play with detail. And if we have to go the long haul and, you know, have long drives and run the ball and take completions and not penalize ourselves, that we're capable of doing that.
And I thought that was a very telling quote, because it shows that Eli and the receivers and everyone else have bought into the system, and they're not going to try to force feed one guy. They'll do the progressions the way they're supposed to be done, and whoever's open and should get the ball gets the ball.
And I think collectively, what Ben McAdoo set out at the very beginning of this journey with this offense was to make each one of those guys realize and understand their role. Every one of them has a role. Every one of them has to do what the play tells it to do, and don't go away from it. Don't start getting and freelancing your way around the football field. And they've done that the last 3 weeks. And I think it's going to continue to get better as they put more plays into the offense. These guys understand it. And he used the word discipline. That comes with it. But also, you're able to run the football, and everything is kind of evolving into it. So I think it's a big step in the right direction for these guys learning their roles and understanding this offense, and it is fun to watch.
And you mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. perhaps being a bit of a game changer for this offense. He spoke to the media earlier in the week and talked about him being an unknown quality still being to his advantage.
I definitely like it, you know, to an extent, because, you know, they don't know, you know, what I do unless you were to go back and watch college film, which, you know, teams aren't going to do that. And, you know, I only have one game on tape, so they have to go off just one game and trying to measure up to, you know, to that and seeing, you know, tendencies and techniques just off of one tape. So it definitely works in my favor, I'd say.
Well, here's one thing they saw, speed. They saw him get behind the defense. They saw him run off a cornerback in a little out route. And, Jeff, you know the Eagles are going to be all over him on tape now. He's not going to be as much of a surprise, but they'll be ready for him. They're not going to let him get down the field on him.
Mr. Odell Beckham, let me tell you one thing. There are people that know more about you than you know yourself.
Ooh,
I'm telling you right now.
Like
okay?
It.
If you don't think they watch college film, okay, they know you and they know you well. You got your one game in, which is good. But I agree with what John is saying, is that they're going to respect you. And they all of a sudden, last week, you saw what happened. Eli had a play to him that he didn't get the ball to him. it went out of bounds.
And the reason is because Eli got pressured on that play because someone didn't pick up a block and he had to rush it, right.
But you look at that play, he beat his defender.
Oh, yeah.
That sent smoke signals up through the press box. And those defensive coordinators said, whoa, guys, hold on a sec. So the guy has some speed. So what do? They started playing a little bit off, and then he starts getting balls underneath. So he is definitely somebody that they have to pay attention to, which, again, was what I said earlier, is that now this is going to free up guys like Larry and Vic and those guys that they're going to be able to get some passes. I am excited. This guy is going to be something special. I really believe so, and I think that he catches the ball well. I think he understands the game. Coming from the Southeast Conference, which is basically your farm system.
NFL
the National
minor
Football
leagues,
League,
pretty much, let's be honest.
You know, him being able to play in that has helped him, and I thought that he did a really good job coming into his first NFL game. He had 30 plays. We weren't thinking he was getting 30 plays.
No.
I mean, we were all like 15 to 20,
yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many mental errors he had, but I would imagine that he was pretty good. Nice to get his first touchdown in Giants, Giants.
No question.
MetLife, you know, that's kind of good.
And we mentioned how he could fit into the offense and the system's really working. Eli Manning, three straight games with a 100 passing rating, longest streak since 2010 when he also had three. The longest ever of Eli's career was back in 2009 when he had four straight. So he'll be going for that tonight.
Do you know or happen to know what he did after those three straight games?
I do not. I can guarantee you they were under 100.
Yeah,
that's all I know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I don't mean to be like, you know, the best, but I just, you know, we have so many statistics to look at.
And quarterback rating can be.
Yeah, I mean, so.
But I get it.
I think this is a different Eli Manning because it's a different system, and I'm being Captain Obvious here. But this, to me, I feel that is something big for Eli. I really think that that he's being more and more comfortable with what he has to do, and more importantly, man, does he have people that can make plays for him. You really look at this offense, and I have been pleasantly surprised at the progression and the maturity of Reuben Randall this year. We were all waiting for this guy to step up, and I think he's doing a nice job.
A lot of catches, but also a lot of targets last week, too. Still has to improve on his consistency a little bit. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Steve in Indiana. Steve, thanks for holding, buddy. What's up?
Hey, I just had a question.
Sure.
I know you guys have been touched on a little bit, but do you think Odell Beckham is going to open up a lot of things for Cruz across the middle?
Well, you know,
Steve, that's
the thing. If they have to watch him deep, it's either Danelle over the middle. It could be Cruz in the slot. Something else is going to be opened up if you have to put a guy over the top on Beckham.
And I tell you, if you want to get some kind of a sampling of what you could see, you look at what when the Giants offense was running at full tilt here. Look what when Hakeem Nicks was healthy and running well, and look at what Vic did when Hakeem Nicks was healthy and playing well.
And we're not calling Beckham Hakeem Nicks quite yet.
No, but I'm saying that was kind of
right.
I'm comparing the position more than the player.
Right.
So that is going to help Victor Cruz, and it's going to help this Giant offense.
One other question. I haven't heard anything. Have you guys heard anything about Thomas being able to get another contract next year? I think our defense would benefit from him drastically.
Terrell Thomas?
No, Thurman, the third.
Walter Thurman the third. Gotcha.
Walter Thurman.
Okay,
yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I think you got the Thurman Thomas, Walter Thurman thing going there.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, Steve.
Right.
It's all good. Honestly, I think the Giants will look to re-sign him. I'm not sure. You know, how much money they're going to give him coming off an ACL when he's a cornerback. That can get dicey sometimes.
Right.
I mean, look at Stevie Brown this year.
Right.
I'm sure the Giants would like to have him back. They love him as a player. He's good in the locker room. He works hard. He's a smart player, Jeff, talking to him. They'd love to have him back, but that becomes a dollar and cents issue now in the postseason. Frankly, McBride's been so good in the slot.
I was just going to say, you know, in the day and age of the salary cap, you get a guy like McBride. Now, McBride's not a young guy for everybody.
Seven-year pro.
So, I mean, we're not talking that second year. So if he could play himself into a good contract, I don't know what his contract status is, but my point is that if –
I'm sure he's a year-to-year guy.
He's
got it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And in that case, and he's got the opportunity, and he's done well, and Perry Fuel loves this guy. I think the Giants like this guy, and he can maybe, you know, get into a contract. And I would hate to see Thurman go because I think he's a good player, you know. Are they about the same age, you think?
I think McBride's probably older than Thurman, to be honest.
I think
Thurman's been in the league for about 4, maybe 5 years. I'm thinking 4 years for Thurman, give or take. But McBride, again, he's a 7-year pro.
Yeah. You can never have enough corners. You know that.
It's true. So. Thanks, Steve.
Right.
And you know,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And with McBride, you know, he didn't play the slot. Now he's playing the slot corner there now, which is great.
I know. You know, versatility, man.
Absolutely.
More you could do.
Absolutely.
That's why Fiegel started holding.
Good for him. Hey, the more you can do. By the way, I don't want to make this the Jeff Fiegel show, but I love to hold.
But it is the Jeff Fiegel show.
It was a lot of fun holding field goals. Except later when it gets cold, then it's not fun. It's not fun. But it gets you on the field for, you know, what, 6, 7, 8 more plays. Get the high five to guys.
One more chance for you to screw up.
Oh, see, that's the way John should look at it.
201-939-4513. Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Len.
Good, good, good. Hey, Reuben Randle, 10 catches, 115 yards, 2 touchdowns. Here's my thinking.
Wow. That would be impressive.
I think you guys are absolutely right. They're going to shade toward Beckham. They watch the film. You can't have a game like he had, his first game like he had, and show that kind of speed and not have the next opponent say, whoa, yeah. Well, we better watch this guy. I think the Eagles will take their chances with Boykin covering Cruz one-on-one. Boykin's a good player.
No, in fact, Boykin's their best corner. And you're right, he did a very good job on Cruz last year, too, Len. Very shrewd, 100% right.
Boykin is a good player. And that leaves it open. Come on, Reuben. This is it. This is it. This is Reuben Randle weekend. I think, you know, if we can get Donnell,
I like it.
If we can get Donnell to help us out with the blocking, I'm not too worried about his catching passes. I think we're going to see a lot of exotic blitzes, funny formations on defense out of the Eagles, and we're going to need Larry to come through here and give us some key blocks. And the same with Hanoski. I think we're going to see Hanoski, you know, line up next to Eli. In the shotgun quite a lot. Not that he's going to run the ball, but I think we need his blocking. Man, he made some blocks last week in the third and fourth quarter. He was leveling guys.
Yeah, it's great.
Gosh,
it's great to see. It's great to see that too, because you know those fullbacks, they don't get enough credit for what they do, both in the passing game and the running game. But
they don't barely get snaps anymore.
They don't nickname you the rhinoceros for nothing, man. I'm telling you what.
Oh man, he was just. I mean, he was laying blocks last week. Hopefully, he can do that again, particularly against these exotic blitzes that I think we're going to see. You know.
Well, you know what? Let me interrupt you for there, real quick. I think the Eagles are in a little bit of a quandary when you say an exotic bit, because they're missing two of their starting linebackers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And by the way, their best defensive player in Michael Kendricks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you going to put all your eggs in a basket and start blitzing guys with your backup linebackers? That's just going to leave the middle of the field wide open.
Well, we have to counter that, and we got the guy to do it in Eli. But, you know, Jeff, we talked about this last week. These guys have playbooks.
Yeah,
I mean, they got playbooks and they're practicing all week.
No, they don't have playbooks.
I don't think they're going to deviate too much. I think they're going to show us some looks that we haven't seen before, and I think there's going to be some exotic blitzes. And heck, they may be coming out of the safety position. And knowing Philadelphia, they may be coming out of the stands.
Yeah, that's great. You're probably right, man. I played down there, and I've seen them come out of the stands many times. You know, and some of them with no clothes on either.
15, 16 years in a row up there, mostly to the vet, you know, to the vet. And it just got to a point, I almost hate to admit this, but the breaking point, you know, Monday night game, Sunday night game, I mean, I saw them all about 15, 16 years in a row. It's a tough place to go as a fan.
Well, let me tell you, I know that the late games are the worst, because they get off work at 5 o'clock, and it's right to the stadium,
what?
And they're pounding them.
Jeff, it's Sunday.
A Sunday night before a three-day weekend.
I meant like the Monday night game, yeah.
those guys are going to start drinking right after 10 o'clock mass.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're right.
I mean, it's going to be a mess. Hey, quick story, though, about Philly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm outside in the vet. Jeff may remember it, the vet better than I do. But the visitor's dressing room, you know, the nerd that I am, I used to meet the bus. I'd meet the bus. See the Giants coming off the bus, clap for them, you know, try to shake their hand and so forth. And, you know, one time waiting for the bus, who pulls into the parking lot, VIP parking lot, but George Young and his wife, all right? So my buddy and I go over and say hello to Mr. Young. He sees our hats on our head, and he said, what are you guys doing here? I said, well, what do you mean? We came down to see the game. He said, man, be careful. These people are crazy down here.
You know, Len, what I was hoping you're going to say you saw Fields get off the bus and he big-timed you. That's the story I wanted you to tell. That you put out your hand, he just looked at you and just kept going.
I was about to try to go back in my memory and figure out when did I actually take a limo to the game ever? Because, you know, but I know exactly where you're talking about and where the buses come down there, because when I played for the Cardinals.
Right next to the vet, and it was always a fun experience in my younger days to be able to meet the guys coming off the bed.
Listen, I used to hate when we were warming up there. Okay, this is when I was with the Eagles. Now this is how stupid this is. We're kicking field goals. I'm holding for the field goals, and the balls are going over the net into the stands. And the Eagle fan I'm with the Eagles now. You would think they would throw them back, right? They were taking them and running them out of the stadium. They were taking the footballs. So we started with like eight footballs, and by the time we went to the other side of the stadium, we had two.
Right. Now, let me just say something about the defense. You know, the one thing, you know, the Eagles, John, the yards after the catch numbers are extraordinary. The Eagles, the yards after the catch.
Hey, they're,
I mean,
you
look at Macklin's. You look at Macklin's numbers. I mean, yards after the catcher, I mean, unbelievable.
I think
the key is, you know, Sproles is going to get his catches, John.
I like
your stats about number of plays. You didn't go to the back, so I was curious about how many plays Sproles had.
Well, I can tell you. Hold on.
I can tell you.
Let's see. Sproles this year so far, let me see. Where's Darren Sproles? There he is. He played 20 snaps last week. He's played 33, 24, 21, 16, and 20. So they picked their spots with him. He's only out there for about 30, 35% of the plays.
My chances, my guess is, John, if he played 20 plays last week, he touched the ball 18 times.
They use him when he's out there.
If he's on there's no other reason to have him on the field.
No, as a decoy, man.
I mean, why put him on the field unless you're going to get him the ball? And he usually knows what to do with it. When, you know, the key is tackle, guys. And we're going to have to cover 53.5 yards, too. The Eagles play sideline to sideline.
That's true.
I mean, it's just sideline to sideline. We've got to be able to get out there, and we've got to be able to make tackles. Hey, John, you got to do me one favor before the show is over today.
Yeah, real
Jeff,
quick.
You got to egg him on this, too.
Uh-oh.
Please. Get him. Please, John. I know it's your show.
But?
Get that Eagles helmet off that desk.
Nah, it's the matchup. It's like Monday Night Football.
We just got to make sure
Len.
People understand what week we're in. We're playing the Eagles.
Yeah, hey,
Len,
yeah, that's right.
I'm talking
John,
to a former Eagle here.
Is anybody watching or listening who doesn't know who we play Sunday night?
Don't be one of those fans.
It's all about
please.
The set.
I deal with it enough.
Okay,
don't
we're
be
just
one
trying to
people.
Make this
Come
look
on.
Like a really high quality show here.
Well,
that's why
high quality.
Now, if you notice some of the other shows that are on here, I know I was watching Paul Dottino and Roman Ovid. These helmets weren't on for that show. See, this you're getting top notch with this show on Friday.
Thank you, Len.
One last thing
real
on
fast.
That. I hate that helmet. I hate that
real
helmet.
Fast, Len. Real fast.
Yeah, you're gonna hate next week. You're gonna hate the other one that's gonna be on this.
Yeah,
day.
That's true.
I know, but there's something about the Eagles, guys. There's just something about just something about that. Hate that helmet.
Thanks,
hey, let's go, Giants. We're gonna win this game.
I appreciate it.
Let's go, guys.
Something, John,
what's that?
I don't hate that helmet as much as the one I'm gonna hate next week. And
well, that's because you used to wear that helmet.
Yeah, I think that's probably why.
It's probably going to be part of it.
But you
played
now,
for three.
I have told you this, too. And,
right.
And I know your allegiance to the Cowboys, but I know that.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. But I do know this, that I was a huge Cowboy fan growing up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I love the Cowboys growing up. Because I lived in Arizona. We didn't have a team, so I always liked. And Danny White was my guy. Because he went to Arizona State University, and he was a punter and the whole quarterback.
Danny White, huh?
Yeah. Danny
Interesting.
So.
Well, the bottom line is, though, once you get into the league, though, or once you start working for a team, all that stuff goes out the window. It's over.
You know what? And when I was with the Eagles, it was really a bad, bad run. I mean, Norman Brayman was the owner. I mean, he was too worried more about selling cars than running a football team, really.
All right, real quick, Jeff, before we say goodbye here, I want to touch on one or two other things.
Is it already over?
We only got about a minute here left before we got to say goodbye. Coach is going to talk outside. I got to run out there. We talked about this. Do you see this? I think we both think this will be high scoring.
Yeah.
I could see this being one of those freak show Giant Eagles games as we've seen in the past where there's – fumbles and picks and punt returns and all sorts of crazy stuff all over the place.
Field goals,
no one's
binking off
know
the
what's gonna happen.
Post, and yeah, I think I agree. And what's going to happen, in my opinion, in this game is that it's going to come down to one of those big plays that we've talked about today.
Yeah,
and whoever makes that one big play is going to win this game. That's the way I see it. I think it's going to be a high scoring game, and I think it's going to be a fun game to watch.
Jeff, appreciate the time, my friend.
Good job, Johnny. Thank you, guys, and thank you, everybody.
We'll see you next week. Enjoy the game this weekend, everyone. Pre-game, WFAN Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM on Sunday night, starting at 6:30. Jeff, myself, Lance Metal, Paul Dottino, get you ready for Giants and Eagles in Philadelphia. Enjoy the rest of the day on Giants.com. Tom Coughlin addresses the media. The players talk to the media as well. We'll have everything for you on Giants.com. And then, of course, you can hear the game live as well on Sunday. Check it out. For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmelk. Me and Lance will be back with you on Monday for Big Blue Kickoff Live at noon to recap Giants and Eagles. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game, everybody.